رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقران العظيم، اللهم اجعله لنا اماما ونورا وهدى ورحمه. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، واعمالنا من الرياء، والسنتنا من الكذب، واعيننا من الخيانه، فانك تعلم خائنة الاعين وما تخفي الصدور. امين يا رب العالمين. In the previous session we were discussing ayah number 19. It contains two very basic terms of the Quran. Mun'am alayhim, those people whom Allah has blessed, about whom we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Now who are they? As I told you, the answer is in Surah Al-Nisa. ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. These are the four grades of people who have real belief, who are pure from all sorts of hypocrisy. They are sincere bondsmen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lowest position, that is salihin, who have been cured. Islah has happened. All those ills have been cured. Now above that, as I told you, if somebody is giving charity, going on giving his wealth, his money in charity, and spending for the cause of Allah, for the propagation of the word of Allah, the message of Allah, and in the struggle for establishing the deen of Allah, now he can go to higher levels, spiritual levels. The highest to which a man can go by his own effort is Siddiqiyat. This is the highest rank. Above that is Anbiya. That was the level of Anbiya, prophethood. That was, when it was going on, it was also Wahbi. It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not acquired. It was given. But the highest position that a man can acquire himself is Siddiqiyat. And I told you, a person who is pure of nature, and right thinking, Salimul Aql, Salimul Fitra. When these two things join, we have read in this selected course of study, the example of Hazrat Luqman, alayhi salam. He was such a person. So he reaches the basic premises of Iman. He himself reaches them. And when the voice of Dawah of a Nabi comes to his ear, he spontaneously, instantaneously, he accepts and he verifies whatever you are saying is true. He should be. But there are certain people, because they are extroverts, they are not worried about what is this universe and where we are going. They are fully busy in the immediate environment, in immediate conditions. So these people take more time to understand. And that is why Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, although he had immense love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still it took 6 years. Umar ibn Khattab, although we can't say that he had any love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he belonged to another clan of the tribe of Quraysh. But Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they played together. They were friends, very close friends from the very early childhood. So actually, he took 6 years. Why? Because he was not interested in this. So these people, but because they are extroverts, they are active, when they come to the fold of Islam, they are more forceful. What happened after Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they embraced Islam, Islam suddenly changed in Makkah. The conditions were changed. That week was gone now. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there, but he was a very respected person, no doubt. He held a very high position in the hierarchy, tribal hierarchy. He used to decide about the blood money in any case of murder. How much money should be paid for this murder? It was his position in the hierarchy, tribal hierarchy. But still, he was not so effective. He was not such a strong person, so to say, outwardly, physically. So Umar was a different person. Hamza was a different person. So these people now become more prominent, practically more prominent. And because the basic term for the vision of the Prophet is shahada. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa naziran wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Shahada. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Whenever a group or a person is making dawa in true sense of the word, fulfilling all the conditions of true dawa, actually he is a witness of Allah unto mankind. You know, you have that term here, Jehovah's Witnesses. This term is very correct. It is actually, the Quran gives us this term. We are witnesses of Allah, Jehovah's Witnesses. We are Allah's Witnesses. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And this will actually be in a second form. This witnessing will appear in on the day of judgment. That these people will stand up and as court witnesses, they will say and testify, O Allah, we had conveyed your message to such and such people. Now they are fully responsible. They can't plead ignorance. They can't say that they didn't know. They can't say that the message was not conveyed to them. We conveyed the message. So they will be the shuhada on the near judgment, the court witnesses against people to whom the dawah had been given and had been given in the right hands. So that is why in Surah Al-Nisa we have, وَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَيْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَيْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. What will happen to these people on the day that we shall bring forth from every ummah, every community a shaheed, a witness. The Rasul or Nabi who was sent to that community, he will stand first of all and he will testify, O Allah, your word, your message which came to me, I have conveyed to them. Now they are responsible. They are accountable for what they did. So, كَيْفَ جِزَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَاهَا أُولَٰئِ شَهِيدًا. Now these people, these shuhada, because they were extroverts in nature, they are more active. Hence they become more important in the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mission of the Prophet. They are called shuhada, but they are at a lower level than Siddiqeen. Siddiqeen are at a higher level. But now what the ayah says, if you have purified your heart from the pollution or the impurity of the love of this world, that is the love of wealth, now the higher stations of spiritual rising, they are open for you. You can achieve, but you can achieve only according to your personal structure. What temperament Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you? If you are among the introverts, right thinking people, and you had the purity of your nature to the maximum extent, you will become siddiq. You will reach that level. And if that's not the case, you are sort of extrovert type of people, even then you can go to the level of shuhada. So this ayah actually gives you the final result of what I call Suluk-e-Qur'ani. This is the mystic path which Qur'an is teaching us. That actually, first of all, you have to purify your heart from the love of this world or the love of wealth by spending and spending on both accounts. For the poor and needy, this is sadaqah. And for the deen of Allah, for the propagation of His word and message, and for the struggle of establishing his deen as a real, living, political, socio-economic system. Now if you are doing this, then this impurity is gone. Now if you have real iman, now you consciously sow the seeds of iman in the land of your heart, after plowing it, then you'll have the best results, the best harvest. You can reach the level of shuhada even, you can reach the level of siddiqeen. So that is this ayah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They will be a witness in the court, divine court of the day of judgment. They will stand and say, Oh Allah, we had conveyed to such and such people, such and such communities and nations, your message. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ وَنُورُهُمْ. Their reward and their light, their noor. Just remember, this noor was mentioned. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. That noor is here. Noor of siddiqiyat, noor of shuhada. This noor, these are the lights. These lights, they will sprout out. They will show out on the day of judgment. And the people will pass through those difficult stages in the light of this iman, this light noor of iman and the of good deeds. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ وَنُورُهُمْ. For them, their reward as well as their noor. That is ensured. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ وَنُورُهُمْ. They should have no doubts They will get their reward and they will get their share of the reward. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. I mentioned yesterday that this scene has been depicted in the last surah of this series also. This surah Al-Hadid is the first surah of this series of 10 Madani surahs as I explained previously. And surah Al-Tahrim is the last. Here we have read the ayah, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And in Surah Al-Tahrim you will read, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُكَفِّرَ عَنكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now you can refer for the translation. You can go ahead and read the translation from Surah Al-Tahrim. But here I have to proceed further. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. As for those who disbelieve, who reject and belie and deny our ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. They are the companions of hellfire. They will remain in the hellfire forever, forever. Now, the fourth section of this Surah Al-Mubarakah. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. This is one, again, another most profound ayat of this surah. Just as we had in the first section about the attributes of Allah, هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. I told you that this is the most highest level of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we heard about munafiqeen. وَلَاكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. The whole process, inward retrogression from iman to kufr, that is nifaq, has been described in four words. In the same way, this worldly life, what it is? Because I told you, the sole purity and pollution of the spirit or soul or heart is the love of this world, of the love of this life. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our attention, inviting our attention to just ponder, what is this worldly life? And these words, each one of them is very important. Because it is denoting a certain period of our life. اَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Know it, let it be known to you, let it be clear to you that this life of this world is nothing but what it is, laibun, playing. This is the first period of human life. Life means playing. Early childhood, you don't worry about what to eat and what to drink. Your parents are there to worry about that. For a child, life means playing. Very innocent type of thing. Then you come to the teenager phase, and that is love. Now, amusement and sport. This teenager, a very crucial period of human life. Then the third was zinatun, adornment, pomp and show. At a certain age, a man is very conscious of the dress that I am wearing. Is it okay? Is it according to the standard? It shouldn't be out of fashion. My haircut is very conscious. Everything is very conscious about his appearance. How he looks, how he appears. Then you know at the fourth stage. Laibun, wallahun, wazilatun. These words actually most of the translators have gone very easily over these words. But they are giving you the definite periods of human life. At certain stage, life meant nothing else but playing. Nothing. Even the mother had to fetch you and call you, go, come and eat. But you didn't want to eat. You wanted to play. That's all. Then the period came there was some sensual gratification added to. It was not an innocent playing now. For the teenagers, something else. No innocent playing, something else. Then comes Dina, very conscious of appearance, you know, and adornment, and dressing, and haircut, and all the style, everything. And the fourth stage, tafakhurun bainakum, boasting among yourselves. Boasting over your waste, greed. Boasting over your money, your wealth. Over your landed aristocracy. Tafakhurun bainakum. And then the final stage. This age till 40, this is tafakhurun bainakum. We find it in our NWFP especially, that province of Pukhtun. If some new car has come to your neighbor's door, I must have it again, you know. And a bigger car must come here. I don't care if I have to sell my land. But I can't have my mustache down before the neighbor. Tafakhurun bainakum. It has to be, you know. I have to be above him. I have to be at least equal to him. Tafakhurun bainakum. But after that stage, when the age is going down now, from the prime youth towards old age. But takasurun fil amwali wal aulad. Now, vying with each other and competing with each other in having more and more wealth, gathering more and more wealth and having more and more children. Not today. It used to be in the olden days, because having more sons meant you are more powerful. In the tribal society, the more sons you have, the more respect you command. You have the hand who can be used at any time against your enemies. But if you don't have any sons, you are weak. So they wanted to have more and more children, and more and more. And this takasur goes on, goes on, goes on, goes on, till you die. And here, please recall, Al-Hakumu takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. This takasur, the urge to have more and more, gather more and more. Still greater bank balances, and stocks, and this and that, and property, and business, and this and that, everything going on, and till you are put down into the grave. Till that time. Although you have enough wealth with you that can suffice for your several generations, even then there's the greed. Have more, have more. So actually this is human life. This cycle is going on and going on. اِعْلَمُوا وَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَاللَّهُ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. Its likeness is to the rain. When rain falls, the tiller of the land, here the word kuffar means the peasant, the tiller. Why? Kufr means to hide something. When you are hiding the testimony of your soul that Allah is one and Allah is my God, you are hiding that testimony of your soul and who you are doing, you are making kufr. And the peasant and the tiller also hides the seed in the earth. So he is also kuffar, the tiller of the land. عَجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. When rain comes, rain falls, and there is greenery. The harvest has shown up. Then the peasants and the tillers are very happy. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ. Then that crop, that vegetation which has pleased the harvester or the peasant or tiller of the land, then it ripens and thrives. A very bumpy harvest you have seen. And then it weakens. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. Then it turns yellow. From green it turns to yellow. And then finally it crumbles into dust. So this is a cycle. You must have seen a field where wheat is grown. Nothing was there. Land. Then suddenly you find there is crop coming up. It's greenery, very beautiful, how appealing. Then that green color changes to yellow. After some time, the harvest is cut and nothing is there except the chaff. It has crumbled down to dust. So this cycle is going on in 6 months. And the cycle of the human life is about 60 years. 6 months and 60 years is only a difference of quantity, not of quality. When there comes a newborn, the son has been born. You are delighted, you are making merry, you are celebrating. Then the child is growing, passing through those stages of la'ibun wa lahu wa zinatun wa tafakhurun bainakum wa takasulun fil amwali wal awlad. And finally he dies, is buried, his body becomes dust again. Dust thou art, to dust returnest. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا. Now you know our hair are grey. They were black at that time. That was the prime of our youth. Now just as that crop had changed from green to yellow, the color of our hair is changing. So this is actually the position. This is the same cycle. The cycle in that plant world and the cycle in this human world. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَرِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. What does it mean? You have to pass through these stages. And death is the sure goal of this life of yours. People can deny the existence of God. Can anyone deny that death is to come to him? It will come anyhow. If not today, tomorrow. If not this year, the next year. You have to pass through these stages. You can't stop this cycle. It has to go. Nobody has been able up till now to hold to his youth. It has to pass. You have to pass on to old age. And then you have to go to the grave. But it's very different in the second world. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ This is Hayatul Dunya. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Two permanent fates are awaiting every human being. Either عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, very severe punishment, torment, chastisement, or forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness and His raza and His pleasure. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life of this world is nothing but something which is deceiving you. This is a comfort of illusion. This is a deceit. But mind you here, this ayah and so many ayahs in the Quran, they say that this worldly life is nothing but deceit. But our ghurur, here please note, this is ghurur with ghain, with dhamma, pesh. And this word appeared before gharoor, with ghain, with zabar, or fatha. The world of difference between the two. Al-gharoor, a person who is very deceitful, who deceives, and who is very expert in deceiving. Al-gharoor, and al-gharoor, deceiving, deceit. So actually there's a difference. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. But this worldly life is a thing of deceit only if you have forgotten the hereafter. Otherwise not. Otherwise each moment of this worldly life is most precious. And let me quote here a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. This dunya, this world, is the field where you have to sow, and you will be reaping in the earth. How can you reap if you have not sown? This is very important. You have to sow here, reap in the hereafter. But if you have forgotten hereafter, if this world engrosses you, then actually, it's an illusion. It's a deceit and nothing else. If it can prevent you from remembering Allah, if it can distract you from the remembrance of Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. We have read this in Surah Al-Munafiqun. But otherwise, these very sons, they are the biggest asset for you. They can be for you a sadaqatul jariyah, continuous charity. If you have brought them up in the right way, if you have brought them up as you have educated them incorrectly, if you have raised them as Muslims and Mormons, if through them Allah's deen is propagated, then they are the biggest charity for you. And this is the continuous charity, sadaqa jariyah. Even after your death, you will be getting the merit of wherever the deen and its message is going through your sons and daughters. They are the biggest asset. If you don't forget Allah, wealth is the biggest asset. But if the wealth has engrossed its, yourself into it, and it has become a hurdle in the way of deen, then it is the biggest curse. So actually, these things are relative. But if you are having akhirah as your goal, that this worldly life is most precious. Each moment of it is very precious. If this is correct, what should you do? سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. سَابِقُوا مُسَابَقَةً بَعْدِ مُفَعَلَةً. It means compete with each other in running towards something. مُسَابَقَةً. سَابِقُوا. Run. And you vie with each other. Compete with each other. Run faster than the others. إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. To get the forgiveness of your Rabb, your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to get that garden of paradise whose vastness is like the vastness of the sky, the heaven and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And it has been prepared for those who have real belief and real faith in Allah and His Messenger. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And this is the bounty of Allah. He gives to whomsoever He wishes. Or He gives to whomsoever wishes. Whosoever wishes to get this bounty, and if he fulfills the condition, Allah will give it. Whomsoever Allah wishes, He will give it. So both ways, when Yashaa can have both the meanings. But why is it bounty? Wallahu Zul Fazil Azeem. And Allah's bounty is immense and infinite. Please note here, the Prophet had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nobody can enter paradise through his deeds only. Unless the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Let me quote the hadith, full hadith, with the reference. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, accepted by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. And the narrator is the companion, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet said, لَنْ يُدْخِلَ أَحَدًا مِّنْكُمْ عَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. There is none amongst you whose deeds will be able to make him enter Jannah. Somebody took the courage and asked, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this the case with you also, O Messenger of Allah? If nobody can enter Jannah, without the mercy of Allah, wholly and solely on the basis of his deeds. If it is so, if the statement is so categorical, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, is this the case with you? قَالَ وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ مِنْهُ بِفَضْلٍ وَرَحْمَةٍ. Yes, for me also. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers me with His mercy and fadl and bounty. So, now there are two extremes. If you rely only on Allah's forgiveness, you are wrong. You have to do your duty first. Then hope for the bounty of Allah. But if you are confident that you have all the trust in your own deeds, you are wrong again. Do whatever you can do and you have to do it. But there will remain certain shortcomings. there will remain certain mistakes. To err is human. Al-insanu murakkabun min al-khata'i wal-nisyan. Man is a product of forgetfulness and mistake. So there will always be room for asking for Allah's mercy and bounty. So don't go to the extremes. Do whatever you can and you have to do it. If you have not done what you could do, you won't get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you have done what was in your power, kullu yamalu ala shakilati, whatever is there potentially bestowed upon you by your Lord, if you have brought it out, barabar harche andar seedha daal, bring that out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. He has given you intelligence, understanding. He has given you physical power. He has given you monetary means, wealth. So you have to enjoy all this. But still, never think that you have the right to enter Jannah solely on the basis of your deeds and achievements. It's unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa yatahammadani Allahu minhu bi fadlin wa rahmah. Even I will not be able to enter Jannah unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers me with His mercy and bounty. سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Now, what were the hindrances in the way of that mystic path that Quran is showing us? Love of this world, this is keeping us behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now we can see through what is this life of world. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاقُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَقُولُ فَقَاهُ. Important actually is Akhirah. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Now choice is yours. Which way do you want to go? But you should go towards Akhirah, towards Jannah. سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعْرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Now what is the other thing? If I take to this right path, these are the difficulties which come my way. If I give up interest, my business will go. All these luxuries, all these amenities, they will go. If I do this, I have this trouble. Now the troubles trouble you and hold you back. And we have read it in Surah Al-Ankabut. These troubles are sure to come. You have to un-jannah by passing through these tests and tribulations. We have read in Surah Al-Baqarah, بَلَا نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. They will definitely test you by hunger, by loss of life and property. You have to pass through this test. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَيُتْلَكُوا يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. That the people think that they will have the salvation only on saying that we believe and they will not be tested. It has been our rule. We have been testing everybody who has claimed to be a mu'min. فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah is sure to make it clear who is true and truthful in his claim of iman and who is making a false claim. وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Allah will surely make it clear and manifest who is a real mu'min and who is simply a hypocrite. Now this is the, now here this problem is being tackled. If you are fearing of troubles and difficulties and inflictions, مَا صَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Remember, no infliction befalls on earth or on your souls, but it has already been recorded in a book before we bring it forth. That book is the book of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows beforehand what will happen. And it has to happen anyhow. If an affliction is to come, it will come. You can't escape, you can't run away. Whatever is coming, it is coming from your Lord, with the permission of Allah. Because we have read in the first section, He is controlling the throne of this universe. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Whatsoever comes, reasons might be any of this type of reasons. But without the permission of Allah, even a leaf of the tree cannot move. So whatever is coming, it is coming through the leave of Allah, the permission of Allah. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There are certain afflictions which come on the earth on a very large scale. There's some earthquake. Thousands died, perished. So many houses finished. There may be flood. Thousands and thousands made homeless. So many drowned. Then there can be an affliction to a person in himself. Some cancer taking root somewhere in the body. Some disease, some personal loss. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَّبْرَأَهَا. But that is already in a book recorded before we bring it forth. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. You may feel that it is very difficult. How can all these things be known to someone before it's coming into existence? But it is easy for Allah. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. When you believe in that Allah who knows everything, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. How can you say that anything can happen without His knowledge? يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزُلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. So, we have told you this why. لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. So that you should not grieve on whatever you lose. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And you should not be over-delighted on what we give you. Whatever we have taken from you, whatever we have given you, it's a matter of testing. We give you to see whether you are grateful, whether you use this according to our instructions. We take something to see whether you have the patience. You don't complain against us. This is what the Sufis call, these Muslim mystics, maqam-e raza. Keep always pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is my Lord. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Very beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Tawbah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims are going towards Tabuk, several hundred miles away, in the most severe warm weather of Arabian desert. And they were going to confront the Roman Empire. It was not a tribal feud now. It was not a tribe of Arabia against another tribe. No racial proportion. Roman Empire. Muhammad is going to challenge Roman Empire. The hypocrites used to say to the Muslim Mu'mins, because they were brothers, they were relatives. One brother is a munafiq and the other is a true Mu'min. Father Abdullah ibn Ubay was the chief of the munafiqeen, and the son Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was a true Mu'min. When Abdullah ibn Ubay had said, لَئِن وَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَاصِمَ مِنْهَا الْأَذَرَ. We have read it in Surah Al-Munafiqun. Now if we return to Medina, the honorable ones will turn them out, these people who are humble. When they returned actually to Medina, his own son Abdullah ibn Ubay, he stood with a drawn sword on the gate of Medina. I won't let you, O father, come in Medina unless Muhammad grants you pardon. Then he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look to my son, what is he doing? And the Prophet said, okay, Abdullah let me. He was a true one. Abdullah ibn Ubay, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So father was a munafiq and son was a true Mu'min. A brother is a munafiq and another brother is a Mu'min. So they said to their brothers, Mu'minin, where are you going? لا تنتظروا فی الحر ان دس وارم ویدر برننگ سمر میرا بھی بول. Now Allah said, tell them, O you Muslims, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing can come to us, no affliction, except that which our Lord has written for us. Huwa Maulana, He is our Lord, He is our Savior, He is our Sustainer, He is our friend, He is our well-wisher. Whatever comes from Him, ki harche saathi ye maareekh aine al-kaafas. Whatever my sati is putting in my glass, it is his kindness. It is for him to see. And I believe that whatever he decrees for me is good for me. Although temporarily, for the time being, it might appear to be unpleasant, painful. If a mother is giving medicine to the child, that is bitter. But she is giving it for the benefit and good and welfare of the child. So if my Lord is giving something which is unpleasant for me, I am sure in the end it will prove to be good for me. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. This is iman. So لَكَ لَا قَاسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. So that you don't grieve, you don't get disheartened on what has left you, what you have missed, what you have lost. Maybe he is some dear relative. Maybe the only son you have, and Allah has taken him. Don't grieve. It's for Allah to decide. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Except these words, no word of complaint should come out from your tongue. Allah gave it, and He has taken it. This maqam-e raza. I can't help quoting a couplet from Allama Iqbal. Baru kashid za pecha ke hastubud mara, ke ukdaha ke maqam e raza kashud mara. Why it happened? He said you saw. He should not have done this. All these things are finished. Well, I say whatever has come by the permission of Allah. I take it. I accept it. All those conflicts gone. Otherwise, he did it. He should not have done it. I have to take my revenge. Everything will come into your mind. If you can't take any revenge, you keep on boiling within yourself. Kyun naha ke maqame raza kashud mara. Look to the doors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for me through this maqame raza. Keeping pleased with whatever Allah has ordained for you. It might be anything. برو کشید کا پیشا کہ ہستبور برا. There's another incident that happened in the life of Muhammad Ali Jauhar, Maulana Muhammad Ali Jauhar. Once he was in jail, the freedom fighter, the leader of the caliphate movement, grand caliphate movement of India. He was in jail. A daughter of his fell ill and died. He was given parole and came out to bury her. After some days, another daughter fell sick with the same disease. Now the news came in the prison. He wrote a full poem. But the last couplet of the poem was, Teri sehat hame manzoor hai, lekin usko nahi manzoor, to phir humko bhi manzoor. The life that you recover, you get back to health. But if Allah doesn't like it, we also don't like it. So you have to merge your likings and dislikings with the likings and dislikings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have another independent liking or dislike. And whatever comes from Allah, I agree. لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. In the same way, if He has given you something, anything that you have got in this world is a liability. You will have to account for it. I gave you this much wealth. What did you do with it? I gave you 5 sons. What did you make out of them? Some servants of British imperialism. You sold them to the British army. I gave you son for this purpose. For what a little price? 16-17 rupees at that time. World War I and World War II. For whom were we fighting? We gave you sons. What for? This son of mine, Akif Saeed, he accompanied me on a visit to this country in 82 or 83, the incident. He had recently done his MA in philosophy. Some brothers here at Chicago, they said, leave him here, we shall look after him, let him do his PhD here. And don't you worry about the expenses, etc. We shall look after him. I said, I can't afford to lose my sons to America. Allah has given me my sons. They must be my comrades in my mission. I can't lose them. So Allah has given you everything that He has given you. You will have to account for it. So actually to have more is to be more liable for accounting. لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمُ ابْنِ آدَمُ حَتَّى يُسَلَ عَنْ خَمْسٍ. No person will be able to move from before the Lord on the day of judgment. حَتَّى يُسَلَ عَنْ خَمْسٍ. Until he has been accounted fully for five things. And عُمُرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. He gave you 80 years in the world. Where did you spend them? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. Specially, tell us, what did you do with the days of your youth? Then you had energies and ambitions. What were you doing? وَعَمْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَكْ تَسَبَهُ وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقَهُ. For each and every penny, the account will have to be given. From where did you earn them? The rightful, halal means or haram. And where did you spend them? In luxuries? In show-offs? Tabzir, israf? Or in the service of humanity? And the service of the deen of Allah. And the last and the fifth question. أَمَّا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمَ. Whatever knowledge came to you, what did you do? Gathering knowledge. Not acting accordingly. That knowledge will become a liability. This wealth will become a liability. So actually this life of ours is a period of testing. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُوا. Sometimes he is testing by giving you something, sometimes he is testing from snatching away from you something. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. And verily Allah doesn't like those who are arrogant and boaster. Because if you love this world and you have the amenities and the luxuries and wealth, you will boast. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْ كَمَالًا وَأَعُزُّ نَفَرًا. You have it, Surah Kaf? The conversation of two people. Oh yes, I have more wealth than you. And I have more bandwidth on my side than you have. You will boast. If your vision is limited to this life, or the life of this world, definitely if you have more, you will boast. And you will be arrogant. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Those who are covetous, niggardly, they keep the money back with them, بُخْل. Because it is irrational. If you have only this worldly life before you as your goal, all your ambitions are worldly ambitions, then you must be proud of your wealth. And number two, you must keep your wealth with you. That's the basis of your pride. If you give it away, then on what will you base your pride? What will you have to boast about? So this bukhul is the definite and logical necessary result of all this state of mind, attitude of thinking. Allazina yabkhalun. And when they through themselves, they are miserly, niggardly, they keep the money back, they are not ready to spend for the charity, nor they are ready to give it for the cause of Allah, to do infaq fi sabilillah, neither they are ready to give this loan, goodly loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will honor others also to be niggardly. No, what are you doing? Keep something with you. Be for your future. You have become very unmindful. You should think about your own sons and daughters. You must keep something. Why? So that they shouldn't be blamed. This is actually so that all people should become like those. Unless if he is singled out in the society, then people will, you know, look down upon him. So he will definitely give advice to others also to keep their money with them. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Those who are themselves miserly, niggardly, covetous, keep the money with them, hold the money, and they order others also, and advise others also to keep the money with them, not to spend money. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And whosoever turns away, then he should know Allah is ghani. He doesn't need anything. He is not asking for any loan because he is poor. He is not asking any loan because he doesn't have any wealth. It's only to test you. Sometimes it happens. You give your son, a small son, child, some money and then ask, give me. Only to see his heart. Money belongs to you. You have given to the child, then please give me. That's the case. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything and all that is in the heaven and the earth belongs to Allah. He is the owner. He has given you. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِي. Spend from whatever we have made you vicegerent over there. This vicegerency was also not self-proclaimed or self-attained. We have given you. مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِي. So just like a child. If you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it manifold and give you reward. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّا if you turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah is ghani. He is not needy. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need any help. And he is hamid. He is self-praised. He doesn't need any praise also. There are certain levels of beauty and goodness. Some level of beauty and goodness will only be appreciable if you explain it. Yes, this is very beautiful. See to it. This painting is a very masterly piece of art. Because this. And something is so evident that as if it is self-praise, doesn't need any praise. Self-praise. Habib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so beautiful attributes, so high qualities, that he is self-evident. He is self-praised. He doesn't need even any praise. Here, which was the number of this section I told you, that comes to an end. But the next ayah is the whole section. That is the essence of this surah. This is the essence, the central theme of the whole surah is coming, ayah number 25. And please take it from me. Most profound revolutionary concept of Islam in one ayah. You will never be able to find stronger revolutionary idea in any ideological revolutionary movement. One ayah, 25th of Surah Al-Hadid. I shall devote, inshallah, full 1 hour to one ayah. And that is the essence of this Surah Al-Mubarakah. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَن يَنصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. We shall discuss it inshallah in the next session. بِكَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ وَنَفَعَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ.